Hi, I'm Sunsun Deswan, Managing Director of the Real Estate Practice at McDermott and Bull.
I'm honored to be here today with Talia Nabo-Hakohen. She's the Executive Vice President, Chief Investment Officer, and Treasurer for Sabra Healthcare REIT. Talia, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Sunsun.
Well, let's start with a quick introduction for those not familiar with Sabra Healthcare REIT. Can you tell us just a little bit about the company and the current portfolio?
Certainly. We're a $6.5 billion total capitalization healthcare real estate investment trust, which really means we're a real estate vehicle traded on the public markets. We focus exclusively on healthcare related real estate. We don't operate healthcare facilities, but we do lease them or have them managed by experienced operators. And we somewhat narrow our focus within healthcare to those kinds of facilities that provide inpatient care. So that could include hospitals, it could include nursing homes, it includes senior housing, assisted living, things like that, as well as psychiatric hospitals, addiction treatment centers, and other types of what we would call behavioral health assets.
Got it. And given COVID-19, healthcare real estate has been kind of top of mind these days. How has the portfolio changed? Have you acquired, disposed of assets? What's happened within your portfolio?
It's a really interesting question because I think everyone has gone through every kind of aspect of their portfolio, every kind of transaction and thought process. So COVID has been such an evolving creature within our lives in general, and certainly most specifically within healthcare, although I have said for the last year and a half that I've been grateful to be in healthcare and not in retail, because I think retail is really tough because of COVID and because of other external forces. Whereas in healthcare, we're dealing with the impact of COVID in all sorts of ways, both essentially positive and negative. And it's exacerbated certain situations in the broader economy. But fundamentally, it has made crystal clear to people, to our governments, both at state and federal levels, just how critical the healthcare system is at all the different levels. For Sabra itself, at our portfolio and how we addressed it, what the real shift for us was initially was data gathering. We needed, just as everyone was dealing with the mystery of what this disease was and how it was spreading and how to mitigate the spread and how to respond to create the most safe environments for ourselves individually as well as a collective. The challenge was data, just getting real-time data from all of our operators and consolidating that so that we could see what was happening where in the country, where in our buildings, were operators more or less successful, who needed help, who was managing well, what worked, what didn't work in terms of best practices.
How has the way that you're evaluating or looking at investments changed given maybe some of the new data gathering or what you've seen in the market? Has it changed how you decide whether or not an investment is one that you want to chase?
Two things have emerged from my perspective. One is, it has made clear, this whole experience of COVID has made clear that it is critical to be associated and work with a really good operator who has a deep understanding of their business. The other is quite different from that, and it's that there is that there are other sectors of healthcare that have emerged as very important, partly because of this pandemic. And that is some of the mental health, behavioral health care has really been impacted by this pandemic. And I say that because we've all heard about how hard it has been on children, adolescents, young people, old people. I mean, on every cohort in the community, there's a lot going on in people's in the mental health sphere, the behavioral health sphere, and the importance of that as a science and as an industry has really emerged from my perspective in a way that really wasn't as obvious and wasn't as impactful on everyone as it is today.
And do you see maybe some supply and demand imbalance in some aspects, like maybe the mental health real estate related to mental health, or with nursing homes or other aspects of healthcare real estate? Do you see certain aspects where maybe there's a supply and demand imbalance in the market?
It's a really good point. And yes, and I'm going to answer both examples that you put forward. The other big challenge in skilled nursing is labor. There are plenty of operators who cannot take additional patients because they are limited, because they can't hire sufficient staff. This is not a situation unique to skilled nursing operators. If you can't run your skilled nursing facility or your nursing home, whatever you want to call it, because you don't have enough labor, or you can't admit enough patients because you don't have enough staff, and therefore you end up shutting down, you remove supply from the system, and the impact is we have an aging population, rapidly aging population, and their demand is increasing. And if supply diminishes, we can see how that doesn't work out well really quickly. So that's one story. On behavioral health, what's happening is that there is greater availability of treatment centers and beds and treatment centers in general. It is still woefully undersupplied compared to the demand. And I mean woefully. More serious mental health conditions. Also, there are a few psychiatric hospitals, even fewer for younger people, adolescents and such. It is really hard to find a spot. And more people are suffering today. The other thing that's happening on the addiction treatment side is, which is a positive, is as time has rolled forward and a younger generation has emerged, the stigma associated with being treated for addiction has really declined.
Got it. Okay. Because I know you were an architect earlier in your career, I also wanted to ask you a little bit on the design side. You know, any changes in design that you've seen over the past few years in senior housing or skilled nursing? Any innovations that you'd like to see developed?
We're seeing that concept of small home, greenhouse, whatever you want to call it, creeping back into different parts of the continuum of healthcare. For example, I've spoken with groups about who are interested in building a community of essentially prefab, really tiny homes, okay? Tiny, tiny homes. So these would be for people who live in substandard homes or on Medicaid, oftentimes have chronic conditions and need care, but you can create a village of these people where they do have their own home, and it can be done pretty efficiently with prefab housing, where they can have access to internet. I mean, these are, we're talking about rural locations. So access to internet's a big thing, access to clean water, access to you know, a working sewage system, et cetera. And you can have, instead of having nursing care distributed throughout a community and dispersed, you can have it in that village much more efficiently delivered. Because one of the big challenges we have in general is delivering care to people with chronic conditions who need care at home and intermittent care, but we need to deal with it in a early as opposed to late stage. So more closer to the preventative side as opposed to just dealing with the symptoms.
What components of ESG are you looking for or to implement in your portfolio?
So I think the real focus in that is on E, environmental, when we look at our real estate. And frankly, we're actually spending a good amount of time on that. We've looked at becoming significantly more energy efficient in our buildings and providing access or connecting our operators where we can't implement it ourselves. We've assisted our operators in by putting them in touch with groups that can help design more energy efficient systems. Materials that are used, and particularly because the healthcare is delivered in all these buildings at some level, just to have cleaner buildings. So we're involved in I think it's called the Well Building Initiative. We have done a small amount of development, primarily senior housing. I think we've developed maybe one skilled nursing facility. And to be honest, we did not spend time on LEED certification on those projects. But that, you know, that may emerge as something that is warranted. I don't know yet, but there are things we could do right now to make sure our buildings are more energy efficient, have materials that don't off-gas and are not toxic, and et cetera, et cetera. And I think those are all immediately beneficial to our patients and residents.
Wonderful. Yeah, and I think on the social side, the fact that you're in healthcare real estate, it's already part of the social aspect of ESG. But those examples are great for the environmental.
I mean, we can't control who, well, first of all, our operators are. I'm sure if you actually looked into who's actually working at buildings, it's reflective of the community that the buildings are located. And so it will be heterogeneous across the country if you add it all up. We as an organization have a very heterogeneous organization in terms of our staff. We're more than 50% women. There are women in leadership positions, not just myself. And it's really quite diverse. And frankly, it's very much reflective of our location in Southern California and the ethnic diversity that exists here.
Wonderful. Well, Talia, it was so interesting to learn more about healthcare real estate today and what Sabra is doing. I appreciate you taking the time to join me, and it was great. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.